Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back or welcome to the Building Efficiency Podcast presented by Nenni and Associates. I'm your host, Jim Schaefer. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, Nenni and Associates is an executive search firm focused on the building efficiency industry, hence why we named the podcast the way that we did. And simply put, we help our clients find the right talent. Each week, we sit down with leaders from the industry to discuss their backgrounds, how they got started, and where they see the industry heading. We also get to know our guests and find out what drives them to be successful. And on today's episode, episode 94, I sit down with Pam Maines. I reached out to Pam a few months ago about the podcast, and we weren't able to get anything scheduled until now. And I'm really glad that we did. I really enjoyed hearing about her story, her background, and how she got her degree in mechanical engineering and was able to progress in her career and eventually went back to school to get her MBA, which I know was a career goal of hers. We talked about how she was able to gain knowledge on the traditional utility side of the business and how that positioned her for success and career progression in the energy efficiency and renewable energy sectors. And I certainly enjoyed Pam's perspective on the advice that she would give to her 22-year-old self and how that can really help empower other women in their careers. Pam was a real delight to spend time with, and I believe you're going to enjoy this episode tremendously. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our channel and consider downloading this episode and future episodes. This is the only way that we can track how many people are listening. So if you're still streaming the episodes, I urge you to consider hitting that download button instead. And if you enjoy the episode, please share it and leave a 5-star review on our page. Now, we think you're really going to enjoy this conversation with Pam and me. So let's drop in. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Building Efficiency Podcast. Today we're sitting down with Pam Maines, who is the president with Zero Energy. Pam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
All right. Well, I know I'd reached out to you months ago, and I think we both had some pretty busy schedules here, so I'm glad we finally carved out the time to make it happen. So before we get into Zero Energy and what you're up to here today, I think our audience would love to hear a little bit about your background and just kind of how you got started in your career. So if you could, tell us a little bit about where you grew up and kind of how your career has transitioned here.
Yeah, you bet. So thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm kind of glad that a few months has passed because a lot has happened in the past few months that I'd love to talk about here today. But my background is it's a decades long career in energy. I've worked for more than a few large companies in the past. So I graduated from SUNY Stony Brook on Long Island, which is where I grew up as well. You know, I went to the local college. With a mechanical engineering degree. I immediately graduated from college and I went to work for Pepco, the utility in the Washington, D.C. area. And there I had a number of jobs that got me involved with the utility industry. They sort of had this training program where you could go around and learn different things about the utility. And so I did everything from basically doing load forecasting to working in power plants. I worked in power plants actually for a really long time, working on some pretty significant emissions reductions projects, which got me very interested in environmental awareness around energy generation, and also just doing things like risk management for wholesale trading. So a lot of variety there. And then when I decided to move on from Pepco, I worked for a company, Statoil, that also did energy trading. They did both electricity, natural gas, derivatives trading around fuels. And I was the analyst. So I was doing a lot of work around benefits and risks of doing highly structured transactions for procurement. So that really got me in deep on doing financial analysis within the energy industry and making recommendations on the basis of these analysis and modeling. From there, I had a lot of other positions, but more importantly, I worked in energy efficiency for a while at a company called Pepco Energy Services. I also worked in the retail electric business at Pepco Energy Services, where we became the fourth largest retail electric provider in the country. I actually think that's where I met your firm originally.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Then, after, you know, a number of mergers and acquisitions, I ended up at Constellation, where I was running the federal energy efficiency business, doing UASC and ESPC contracts for energy efficiency for the federal government. And then left that position to go on to do something somewhat different and but still energy related in renewable energy development. So I worked for a firm called Empower Energies out of Bethesda, where we were developing on-site solar, mainly for commercial and industrial customers, which was very exciting and challenging work. So all of that background basically brought me to where I am today, which is, you know, a little smattering of retail electricity, smattering of development of renewable energy, lots of financial modeling, lots of risk analysis. I actually also along the way picked up an MBA at George Mason University. So a lot of experience led me to where I am today.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot to unpack there that I'm curious about. So I guess the first thing I was interested in. So you mentioned kind of starting your career on the utility side, and then you talked about Pepco Energy Services. So how did that opportunity come about? I understand it's probably a natural transition. You're already working for a utility. Then there's this energy services group, kind of startup division. So what was that conversation like, and how did that opportunity come along for you?
Yeah, it wasn't as organic as that sounded, but they wooed me back. I actually left the utility. I was I felt, you know, a little stuck in the utility environment. I loved the work I was doing there. The people were great. But as far as, you know, advancement beyond where I was at that particular time in my career, which was it seems, you know, many, many moons ago, it was about 8 years into my career at the utility. I decided I just wanted to see what was on the other side. So I went to actually work for Statoil at that time. And then Statoil eventually got purchased by Hess. And it was at that time I decided to peel off. I didn't want to go to New Jersey to work for Hess. I decided I wanted to stay in the Washington, D.C. area for personal reasons. Those are oftentimes what motivates us and drives us. And coincidentally, maybe serendipitously, I was offered a job to come back to the utility family of companies at Pepco Energy Services. So that was sort of in some ways, the left turn that my career took back into Pepco, and then eventually Pepco Energy Services went along with the merger and acquisition with Exelon.
Okay. So was it a pretty like seamless transition for you just based on your previous career experiences? And then you start learning, okay, we're going to start ESPC. We're going to do UESC. You know, I already got experience in kind of the generation side. So like, what was that learning curve like for you starting in this new division?
Yeah. And I hope for the folks that are listening, get some inspiration out of this, right? Because every step that I took along the way was a difficult one, right? Moving out of retail electricity and into energy efficiency, or moving out of energy efficiency into renewable energy, each step along that way was very challenging. And you spend about 3 to 6 months, like basically learning on the job, as they say, you know, building the plane while flying it. And it was a challenge. You really got to pay attention. You got to be in listening mode all the time. It can be very stressful to learn new jobs, but also it's very rewarding when things start to click and you actually start to make those contributions.
No, that's great insight because, you know, on our side of the desk, you know, doing executive search and recruiting, you know, we're always looking for candidates who have different perspectives that might have a slightly different background, could make the transition into energy efficiency or vice versa, right? Energy efficiency into renewables. And we're usually talking about hiring managers about how those transitions could happen. But to your point, there's usually this lack of patience around like, well, this person, like they don't get the business, it's going to take them a little bit of time. So I think there's an encouragement out there amongst leaders and hiring managers like, hey, if we could diversify your candidate pool and pull some people from some other similar industries, you just got to continue to invest in them because it will take time.
That's a great message. And I'll be honest, there were a few people along the way, both in terms of hiring managers, recruiters, mentors, who took chances on me because I didn't necessarily have those specifics in my background. But what I did have in my background was a willingness to learn, to expand my range of thinking, and, you know, to basically convince people to take a chance on me. So yeah.
No, that's excellent. All right. So the other thing you mentioned that I just wanted to revisit was you went back and got your MBA from George Mason. So what was the thought there? Because I know some people, they get the MBA because they're like, hey, I want to progress within a corporation. I need an MBA to move into a certain position. Or was it the entrepreneurial path? Was this a foundation that was being laid for what you're doing today?
Oh, Jim, I think it might have been a midlife crisis, actually. So some people go out and buy a car, some people, buy jewelry. I don't know. I was at a point in my career, actually somewhat inspired by my mother, who was always a student in her entire life. She had three master's degrees. She was in education, not in engineering, but that came from my father's side. My father's an engineer, but my mother was a lifelong learner. And so I set a personal goal for myself to get my MBA, which I always wanted, by the time I turned 40. And I eked it in just under the deadline. So I was really proud of myself. But I considered, again, going back to school. I still am very involved with George Mason today through their alumni chapter. I'm actually the president of the School of Business alumni chapter. So it's my own personal version of staying engaged in education, but education is a hugely important characteristic of my career and my, personal goals.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I would assume it's got to be serving you in some capacity today, as an entrepreneur starting your own business, right? Those skills, those building blocks and experiences you learned are probably serving you today, I think, which we'll get into here in a second. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'd be curious about. So you walked us through your career and, what you've learned along the way. So tell us about kind of the turning point that says, okay, I'm going to start zero energy. I'm going to go out on my own. Walk us through that thought process if you could.
Yeah. So there was a point at which, I had a series of jobs in very large companies. I'm trying to be, diplomatic in the way I say this, but working for large companies both has its benefits and its downside, right? Benefits being, you've got the comfort of a large employer. They make a lot of strategic decisions for you, so you don't have to make those just strategic decisions for yourself. But you're also subject to all of those decisions. And, not everything goes the way you expect it to go, particularly in the times of merger and acquisitions. And I've been through more than my share of mergers and acquisitions. I started my career at Pepco, as I mentioned, and I really thought, I would spend my entire career there because that's what my parents did. They spent their entire career as a single employer, and they got pensions from those employers and had a lot of security in those jobs. It's not the case these days. So I think nowadays you have to be more nimble. You have to be a little bit more entrepreneurial minded. To be a survivor in the long run. So I'm very grateful for all the experience I got along the way. Working for large companies grants you the opportunity to learn things and, do things that you wouldn't necessarily do otherwise, right? Like I never imagined that I would be leading the federal ESCO group at Constellation when I started my career at Pepco. But there I was, and I was working with amazing people, great talent. But I decided, after all of those experiences that I really kind of wanted to be in charge of my own future. It is not easy, I will tell you. I mean, I may not need to tell you, but, you're both sometimes wearing two hot hats where you're sometimes the janitor and sometimes, trying to make strategic decisions as the president of a company. And, but you're in charge of all of those outcomes, basically. There's no one to blame but yourself.
That's right. That's right. Well, if you could tell us a little bit about the business model. I would imagine on the consulting side, you probably have some niche customers or some markets that you're really serving today. So tell us a little bit about some of the customers, not specifically, but types of customers that you might work with today.
Yeah, my target customer group is commercial and industrial, anything from small to medium to large commercial and industrial, with a focus more on medium and large. Medium in particular is a somewhat underserved market. So in my view, that's my sweet spot for customers. It's also a very large contingent of the energy consumers across the United States. I recently became actually a qualified vendor for Choice Hotels. So that enables me to basically go out and get the message out to all of the Choice brands about the types of services that Zero Energy can provide. And I think we're going to get to that in just a moment. So my target market really is meant to be any commercial and industrial customer who's looking to procure or use more renewable energy. And that's a pretty wide spectrum of customers out there.
Yeah, no, that's great. As you alluded to, yeah, I'd be curious. Just tell us a little bit about, some of the types of services that you are presenting to them today.
Yeah, so Zero Energy is, I would describe us as deal facilitators, right? We work with any company that wants to use or procure more renewable energy, either through mandate or voluntarily. So that could look like somebody who has set an ESG goal, which is environmental, social, and governance goal around reducing their carbon footprint. So you hear a lot of these carbon reduction goals, like trying to reduce, 50% by 2030. That's a common goal to set for a company. So they look at their entire, scope one, scope two, scope three emissions, and they try to reduce that through offsetting their energy consumption with renewable energy. That renewable energy can come in a variety of forms, either through a transaction, like a power purchase agreement transaction, or actually installation of on-site solar. And so what Zero Energy does is we assist those customers in facilitating those types of transactions or procurements. So it's anything from working with a supplier who can supply renewable energy through a supply contract specifically for renewable energy, or helping them find a developer who's going to site on-site solar or some combination of renewable energy plus renewable energy enabling technology like battery storage to help them use more renewable energy actually directly on-site. Those are some ranges of things that we work on.
No, that's fantastic. And that, I think, kind of sets us up for kind of the next segment here. So as we look at where the future of the industry is heading, you mentioned energy storage and some of the emerging technologies that are happening today. So, Pam, if you were to look 5, 10, 15 years later on down the road, where do you see the industry heading?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because I worked as a renewable energy developer for a couple of years. And there were a lot of challenges in that business at that time. And even in the short amount of time since then, which is now going on 3 years since I worked at a renewable energy developer, but I'm still engaged in the renewable energy industry, I'm seeing the sort of the metamorphosis occur right in front of my eyes. And the big thing is vertical integration of solutions is making renewable energy more accessible to a wider swath of customer types. If formerly, you could go to a developer to, for example, purchase solar, purchase battery storage, but that developer would have a very difficult time arranging for that transaction because of the differences in financing approaches, the differences in warranties, the differences in EPC specifications for combining battery storage and solar. But today, you can find a developer who's vertically integrated to be able to do all of those things seamlessly to the client. And so those transaction types are getting easier to a larger range of customers, making adoption, of course, more readily, more available to the customer base. So I'm just seeing just a greater ease in doing transactions with companies that are integrating these different components that are improving the value to the customer and reducing risk as well.
Got it. Okay. Well, I think that's very insightful. And yeah, that positions us here to transition to the last part of the show, the same four questions that I asked to every guest who comes on. And Pam, I wanted to lead off with, what are your daily non-negotiables?
Okay. Yeah. So it's learn something new and give something back, right? So learning something new, we are definitely in an evolving field, my market base for Zero Energy is the United States, right? So imagine the patchwork, as we all can, everybody in this industry gets it, patchwork of utilities, patchwork of state regulations, even, nuanced federal regulations across the United States. keeping all of that in perspective to help customers with that initial valuation to vet opportunities, to screen what works and doesn't work. That's, you know, staying on top of all of that is essential in what we do every day. And it's changing every day. So we have to really stay sharp and focused on learning those new aspects of the market every day. And giving something back, you know, again, a lot of us are, you know, obviously in renewable energy for the right reasons. We're here to reduce the carbon footprint of our energy consumption. And, you know, it can go deeper than that. For me, you know, I personally try to give something back. I started an endowment at George Mason to inspire others to, as far as lifelong learning is concerned. So access to education is very important to me. So kind of pivoting on my experience and the things that I've learned and now have become an entrepreneur myself, I want to give back to that university that has given me so much.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Well, let's rewind the clock. 22-year-old Pam, you're graduating from SUNY Stony Brook. What advice would you give to yourself then?
It's basically to give yourself credit for your own accomplishments, right? I you know, speaking as a woman here, I graduated from college, you know, back in the 90s, so not to date myself, but back in the 90s. And I think women weren't encouraged as much as we are today to take credit where we've accomplished, where we've had achievements. And I remember a specific instance where I was working on a research project, an EPRI research project at Pepco. And my boss actually convinced me to, you know, write a whole research paper, you know, based on the study that we had completed and give him credit. And so, you know, looking back on that, I regret, you know, being sort of complicit in doing that, because I think nowadays we don't have to take that back seat. And I'm very proud of all of the things that I've done today. And it took me a long time to figure out how to be proud of all the things that I accomplished. So that's my 22-year-old self, like in retrospect, is don't do that again.
I love that. Now my wife is in the academia world, and her and I talk about that same concept a lot. You know, I think it still happens today. So I'm going to make sure I clip this section and send it to her. I think you guys will be on the same wavelength there. I think that's really great stuff. All right. So so next question here, Pam, what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
I'm very outdoorsy. And there's a sort of a saying at the campgrounds and on the hiking trails to leave the place better than you found it. That's what I'm hoping for, is that, you know, I've done something here within my career, and more specifically now with Zero Energy, where I'm leaving the place that I, you know, better than I found it, basically. So if it comes in the form of renewable energy and trying to build something and undo, you know, the past, because I worked in fossil fuels for many years. I was on the side of trying to reduce emissions for years. But I think we have to do better utilizing this planet's resources. And that's what I want my legacy to be. I want it to be to leave the place better. And that's a part of it.
That kind of sets us up for the last question here. What do you want your lasting legacy to be?
I have two grown daughters, and I want to be an example to them. So, you know, I don't want them to be stressed out about, you know, starting their own company or being, you know, super successful. I'm not super successful yet, but we're getting there. So I do want them to see me as a role model and again, to show them through my experience and through demonstrating through the actions that I partake in through Zero Energy that I'm leaving the place better than I found it. And that's important to me. And that's important that I show my daughters.
Well, it sounds like you're a living example of that, no matter what you do from today moving forward. I think you've already given them a pretty solid roadmap to follow. So I think this is great stuff, Pam. I really, truly enjoyed the time here. So thanks for being a guest on the Building Efficiency Podcast.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. All right, there you have it, episode 94 with Pam Maines. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And if you did enjoy it, please be sure to subscribe to our channel wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite podcast. We hope you're sharing this with your friends and colleagues as well. And one last thing, if you have any future guests in mind from the industry, please reach out to me. We'd love to hear from you loyal listeners. So until next time, I'm Jim Schaefer, and we'll catch you on the next episode.